Coming to you now is Lehem Panim with your host, Pastor Cameron Urey, Senior Pastor and Bible Teacher at Renton Park Chapel in Renton, Washington.
Hello and welcome to Lehem Panim. If you've been following us, you'll know that we are in a new series on the book of Acts. And we've started our journey together by taking a look at the testimony of Luke, who is author of both the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. Luke had become the companion of Paul, and really one of the early church's greatest historians. Now, although Luke writes as a historian, his occupation before all of this had actually been very different. He had been a physician, a doctor. I remember not long ago I went to visit a gentleman in the hospital to both minister and pray with him and just be with him through a very difficult time. And as I stepped into that hospital room, I found myself almost instantly surrounded by all kinds of medical equipment. Now, I didn't know what much of that equipment does, but I remember a nurse came in with a rather large piece of machinery. And as she proceeded to hook my friend up to it and to press other pieces of machinery onto his chest, I saw on the computer screen live video images of my friend's heart. And as she moved the equipment around, she began to take precise computer measurements, calculating every sound, every pulse. So laid out in visual form were the wavelengths, the very heartbeat of my friend. And I remember just how blown away I was. That kind of thing is just awe-inspiring to me. But it also leads me to wonder what it must have been like to receive medical care in the first century world of Jesus. You know, in talking about this, my wife remarked to me how she could not even imagine giving birth during that time. And in fact, if she had, she would probably never have made it because of how our son was positioned in her womb. She very likely would have died in childbirth. Conditions and injuries that we would consider very minor were so much more dangerous back then. Some of you tuning in today may be in the medical field. Have you ever imagined what it would have been like to treat somebody in ancient times or during this time period in and around the life of Christ? Well, Luke didn't have to imagine because that was his primary occupation. He was a physician. And interestingly, he is the gospel writer who gives us the most details concerning the events in and surrounding the birth of Jesus. Maybe as a physician, he was just so captivated and couldn't get over the fact that in the womb of Mary, that womb that medically sustained Jesus, was the very creator of the universe who is at that moment already sustaining her. That her very blood, which was bringing him life, would one day be poured out on the cross, bringing life to her. Also, we find that Luke places special emphasis on the healing ministry of Jesus. And when we understand he was a physician, a doctor, we can kind of see through his eyes a little bit and recognize why he was so fascinated by the healing ministry of Jesus. Because Jesus, he had no equipment. Jesus never prescribed any medication. He never had to make a single surgical cut. All he did was he merely spoke, and the worst conditions imaginable, even those that were beyond the hope of cure, conditions that Luke had encountered over and over again in his medical office, they were cured. I wonder how many times Luke had to tell someone, "I'm sorry, you're never going to see again. I'm sorry, you're never going to walk again. I'm sorry, but that infliction, we just don't know enough about it. It's incurable at this point." Luke presents Jesus in a way that only a physician could, because Jesus had succeeded in many of the same kinds of situations where Luke himself had failed. Only one time in all four of the gospel accounts is Jesus called or thought of as a medical physician. And it's right here in the Gospel of Luke. Luke 4:23. Luke simply could not get over the power of God made manifest in Jesus Christ in the absolute worst of medical situations. How every illness, every defect left at the mere touch, or even just the mere spoken word of Jesus. And Luke, like Matthew, he also recognizes this as a fulfillment of prophecy. Isaiah 35:5-6 says, "Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy." You'll remember that at one point, John the Baptist sends messengers to ask Jesus if he truly is the promised Messiah. And Luke says in chapter 7:20-22 of his gospel, "When the men came to see Jesus, they said, 'John the Baptist sent us to ask you, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?' At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, 'Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed. The deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor.'" Now, there's so much going on in that passage alone, and we don't have time to unpack that fully. But Luke points out how Jesus knowingly fulfilled these prophecies from Isaiah, the last of which is that the good news is proclaimed to the poor. And this is another one of Luke's major themes, particularly in his gospel. Jesus' compassion for Gentiles, for Samaritans, for women, children, tax collectors, sinners, and everybody regarded as outcasts in Israel. In fact, every time that Luke mentions a tax collector, it is always in a positive sense. In a time in which women were on the bottom rung of society, Luke emphasized the central role of women in the life and ministry of our Lord. And the reason that Luke has this special place in his heart for outcasts was because he himself was an outcast. In Colossians 4:11-14, Luke is clearly distinguished from those of Paul's fellow workers who are of the circumcision. He isn't circumcised because he's a Gentile, he's a non-Jew. And in fact, that makes him the only non-Jewish writer of the New Testament. And because he was not a Jew, according to Jewish thought, he was not an inheritor of the promise. And yet, in his gospel, Luke shows how Jesus opened up the way for anybody, no matter who they were or what they had been through. He invites everyone to become a part of the family of God. The mercy of God had been extended to all people, whether Jew or Gentile. And in Luke's first book, the Gospel of Luke, he reveals this as the mission of Jesus. And here in Luke's sequel to the book, the sequel being, of course, the book of Acts, we see revealed how that mission unfolded in the early life of the church. Both books are united by that central theme, and together they make up the largest part of the New Testament. Now, where did Luke get this idea? Well, remember, he was a companion of Paul, who wrote the epistles, his epistles, long before he wrote his gospel, and no doubt mentored Luke. And Paul had said in Galatians 3:28, "There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." And so Luke found hope and exceeding joy that he, though an outcast, might become a part of the family of God. And this is why Luke was so fascinated by the compassion that Jesus extended to all who were considered lost. In his gospel, he therefore records more of the parables of Jesus than any other gospel, many in which God's mission, carried out by Jesus Christ, is shown to be one of pursuing. God being likened to characters who are searching for something that has been lost. God is like a shepherd seeking a lost sheep. He's like a woman searching for a lost wedding coin. He is like a father yearning for the return of a lost son. A.W. Tozer, he once wrote a book that has since become one of the great Christian classics, and it's entitled The Pursuit of God. But it's somewhat of a misnomer, because here we find that what Luke was captivated with was God's pursuit of us. Jesus is seen to be the one who pursues us into the night, into the dark, so that he might bring us back to God. This was absolutely central to Luke's theology. Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." I remember one week when my wife and I misplaced two things. She misplaced her cell phone, and I misplaced a very important document. And so on two separate occasions in that same week, we found ourselves searching all over the house, overturning all kinds of things in order to find that cell phone and that document. And in each case, there was joy when that item was discovered. I can still remember back when my wife and I first got engaged. She tearfully told me, some days after we got engaged, that she had misplaced her engagement ring. She had woken up, she had looked at her hand, and discovered that it was gone. And she had been looking frantically through every part of her dorm room for it, and really all over the dorm building. And soon afterwards, after being allowed in to help her search, we found it in her bed, having slipped off of her finger while she was sleeping. And I still remember the joy that came over her countenance when that ring was discovered. Tears, joy-filled tears, flowed from her eyes as I put that ring back on her finger. But I just think, you know, what an amazing thing that God pursues each and every one of us with just as much, in fact, infinitely more, fervency. God does not leave one stone unturned in his pursuit of us. We are all valuable to him, Jew or Gentile, man or woman, adult or child, righteous or sinner, rich or poor. God is pursuing you, and he will find you if you let him, and he will make you his own. And in every healing that Luke records, he shows how Jesus points people to the part of them that needs to be healed the most, their hearts. In Jesus, God has provided an ultimate healing. All we have to do is receive him, surrender to him, and allow him, as our great physician, to heal and transform our hearts. And so I want to encourage you today, if you need to receive that healing today, invite him into your life and say, "Lord, I need you to heal my sin. I need you to heal my brokenness. I am crippled, I am blind, I am deaf, I am mute, without the abiding presence of your Holy Spirit in my life. Come fill me, heal me, change and transform me." Receive healing from Jesus. Amen.
Today's episode of Lehem Panim has been made possible by Renton Park Chapel, a church that is committed to the ministry of sharing the joy of hearing and doing God's Word, and to the mission of bringing people into the life-giving presence of Jesus Christ in and through vibrant preaching, teaching, Bible study, prayer, and ministry to a world that is in desperate need of the healing touch of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry here at Renton Park Chapel, or would like to request any of our messages here on Lehem Panim, you can visit us online at rentonparkchapel.org or lehempanim.org. You can also find us on both Facebook and Twitter. We look forward to hearing from you, and thank you for listening. And may you know all the fullness of having in your life the bread of the presence of God.